Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just talk. Smiles politely back at you.
So we are what, almost 7 months into COVID-19 now, as far as when we really started talking about quarantine and stay-at-home orders and masks and having to get tested. And I feel like it's been a lot longer than that. And it's been a while since we talked about the mental health effects related to the uncertainty and just the way that people's lives have been upended and the economic effects. And it felt like a good time to do a bit of a check-in and see how things are going. And I feel like we're looking at a long, dark fall and winter, as I think we thought we were going to be done with a lot of this, and we thought everything was going to be back to normal, at least a little bit. And now the harsh reality is that it's not. And in fact, we're looking at numbers that are going up again. And just to have a conversation with us, and if you have questions, feel free, 913-576-7798. But Tim DeWeese, who is the director of Johnson County Mental Health, joined us several months ago and is back on the line with us again. Tim, thanks a lot for spending some time here with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Let me just ask, first of all, since the last time we talked to you, what seems like 5 years ago, but earlier in the summer, how busy have you guys been, and what are you hearing about with how the community is doing?
Yeah, so we have absolutely been busier than usual. And so I think that what most people didn't realize or don't realize is that as a community mental health center, our primary focus is to work with individuals that have major mental illnesses. And so focusing on providing services to those individuals in the pandemic, but then the response that the community needed in regards to what people were experiencing with COVID has just kind of opened the floodgates at times for people reaching out and needing support. So it's absolutely been busy, but it's been a different kind of busy, providing services to those that have mental illness, but also then just trying to curb the crisis of the pandemic.
When you talk about the things that go wrong and how we deal with them, and I mean, this is just the trifecta of things that we don't tend to deal with well. First of all, our situations have all changed dramatically. We're not geared toward change, most of us. We also have fear of the unknown, because we don't know, as Jamie just said, how long any of this is going to go on. And we also have just the frustration that goes along with trying to get things done in an era when that's becoming harder and harder to do. What do you find that people are having the most trouble with?
Well, I think the first thing that I would say is that you're right, change is hard. But as human beings, one of our most powerful abilities is to adapt and overcome. And I think that's what we have to tap into, and be realistic about what is happening, what's going on, and what we're going to need to do to curb the virus, but also make sure that we are staying mentally well. So, you know, I think what we're seeing actually is that I think you're right about change. I think it's actually a little bit harder to adapt to change for adults. Kids, while kids are having a variety of different experiences, in our experience, they're adapting fairly well. Now, that's not to say all kids are. But I think, in from our experience at least, is that parents are really having a difficult time managing the stress, and it's understandable because it's not just COVID. It's the financial impact. It's what's happening at work, what's happening with your finances, what's happening with your housing. All of those kinds of things make it even more difficult for us to manage that as adults and parents.
I'll speak for myself as somebody who is a major extrovert, and a lot of my stress release comes from socializing. It's a matter of having to find different ways to cope with stress, that the ways that I used to cope with stress have simply not been available because of the restrictions of COVID-19. So what advice are you giving to people that are just, I don't know that high stress is something a lot of people would seek therapy for, but really it affects their daily lives.
Absolutely, and I think you're right on when you're saying that it's about finding new ways to cope with that stress, because it is different. We're living in a different time, and I think we also have to remember that this is a season. We will get through this. COVID will end at some point in time, and like
sure.
you said earlier, we just don't know how long. So we have to look for those new ways of adapting. We have to look for new ways that we can, for extroverts, and I'm one myself, find ways that we can socially stay connected, but being physically distance. I think that was one of the big things I talked early on, was that we really don't need to socially distance. We need to physically distance. And so I've heard people say, oh, you're telling people to isolate. No, actually, I'm telling people to do the exact opposite. Find new ways of socializing. Find new ways to have family involvement. And it's a perfect opportunity to look at how to build a stronger family unit, and how to have positive social interactions via, you know, Zoom or whatever, you know, televideo platform you want to use. And then also use the outdoors. I mean, that is one thing for us in the Midwest, is we have a lot of parks and areas that we can do things socially and still remain physically distant from one another.
I, you know, one of the first things that we heard about was from people maybe a month into this, where we were all kind of saying to each other and to ourselves, really, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay for this to be overwhelming for you. But I want to come at this from the opposite angle, because there are those of us who have been relatively okay through this. It's not fun, but we're not feeling as much stress as maybe we see other people feeling. So what do we need to remember about people who may not be dealing with this as well as we are?
I think that is really important, that we need to realize that we all are experiencing this, and we are all going to have different feelings. And so, you know, if we can provide one another a little grace, a little kindness, and a little understanding, I think that will go a long way. So it's just that your experience may be different than another person's experience. So, again, we need to cut folks a break and assume positive intent and look at how we want to approach things. I think that's the other thing that we as adults can really help people adapt and overcome. And the fact is that many times our children, their reactions hinge on the narratives that we model for them. So we can give young people one of two perspectives. One of victimhood, that they've lost something that they've been entitled to and that they should remain outraged and forever scarred, or that of empowerment, which is about delayed gratification, resilience, and finding ways to grieve and then move on.
A lot of the stories that I've seen, actually, and studies that I've seen in the last few weeks, have focused on kids are having trouble sometimes even when you don't realize it, that they're having stress even sometimes when you don't realize it. It would make perfect sense to me. The virtual learning, and, you know, maybe you're going to school and maybe you're not, and parents are home and maybe they weren't before, and just routines being changed. How do you recognize, you know, genuine stress and genuine concern and mental health issues in your child?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to do is talk with them and spend time with them. Because if you're not necessarily spending time with them, then you're probably not going to notice that. And if you're not having open and authentic interactions with them, and maybe sharing with them how you're feeling, that you're stressed a little bit, to find out how then maybe that will help them open up. But I think you're absolutely right. It's hard to tell, and so we have to just keep an eye on kids. We have to routinely check in with them, see how they're doing, and then watch for any flags. So if we see them beginning to isolate more than they have under the current circumstances, if they are participating in more risky behaviors like smoking or using alcohol or any of those risky behaviors, things that are just really out of the norm, we need to then call them on it, have a conversation and ask them what's going on. And then we have to validate what they're experiencing and then try to find help. And I think that's the most important thing, is that we have to not hesitate to ask for help.
That's a great note to take a break on. Tim, do you have a few more minutes? You can stick around here for a bit.
Absolutely.
Great. If you have questions for him, 913-576-7798. And we can get to some of your questions coming up after a break. 1:15 here on KMBZ. Few more minutes to spend with Tim DeWeese, who is the director of Johnson County Mental Health. We're just doing a little bit of a check-in here when it comes to COVID-19 and how you're doing with your mental health. And I appreciate the, I don't know how I would be surviving if I didn't have the ability to go outside and meet friends of mine outside, but winter scares me when we have a foot of snow on the ground. And so we'll get to that here in a minute. But I want to ask you, Tim, about fatigue. About this word fatigue. It was something I tweeted about the other night where I said, I'm doing okay. I'm just fatigued with COVID-19 and everything that I would normally do that used to be so easy, taking a lot more work now. And that was one of the headlines I had just seen, was that COVID fatigue is setting in. Can you talk to me about how to deal with that, where you're not depressed and you're doing okay, you're just fatigued?
Right. I think that fatigue is a real issue. I think we just kind of get tired. We're kind of over all of it. And fatigue is across everything. I think for me, and what I would suggest to people is to make sure that, one, they're eating right, they're trying to get a little bit of exercise, and most importantly, that they're practicing good sleep hygiene, that they're getting a good night's rest. We sometimes think we're doing the right things to get to bed and to sleep good, but sometimes, you know, watching the news, staying up just on our devices all of the time doesn't necessarily help us prepare for sleep. So getting in a good routine to get some really good sleep, and then also just taking a break. Just taking a break from the hustle and bustle. I'm in agreement with you. I think the winter and the upcoming flu season is going to be a huge challenge.
We've also heard, and I know this is something when it comes to mental health, the idea of self-medicating is such a dangerous, dangerous thing. But what did we start to hear within a month of lockdown happening was people that were just, the amount of beer sales were going through the roof. People were buying more liquor. At what point do you have to look at yourself and say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. This isn't good for me. This isn't the right way to deal.
I think that's very worrisome, and you're right. I think we've seen increase not only in alcohol use, but an increase in drug use across our community. And so I think that whole notion of self-medicating is something that we need to look for positive ways to kind of deal with that and cope with the stress, the fatigue that we're all experiencing. And so while, you know, making sure that we're not over drinking. I think it really gets to a point if people around you are saying that, you know, your personality is different, you're changing, you're way more irritable all the time and you're drinking all the time, then that's probably something we need to have conversations with our loved ones about and people that we're concerned about.
One of the things that I appreciate, might be one of the only things I appreciate about COVID-19, is that I feel like we are more open about talking about our mental health now because so many people that we know are dealing with the same thing. We're having a shared experience, although maybe different versions of it. What is that doing in terms of people seeking help? Are we more willing to seek help than we used to be?
Absolutely. We're seeing it in just the number of people calling our a crisis line, our emergency line, calling, you know, walking in for services. And so while I think that with the younger generations, like high school students, as we've worked in high schools and stuff, we see them being way more open about talking about how they're feeling. And I do think that this situation, that the COVID pandemic has created a opportunity for us to basically say, you know what, mental health, stress, depression, these are all things that we all experience, but we don't talk about them, and now we can. And that's huge. And I think that then the next step is knowing that people can get help and need to get help, no different than if they were having hypertension or diabetes.
Well, I tell you, Tim, we just got a great question in off of the text line from somebody along those lines who said, look, I would love to, but if we have people who have lost jobs and by virtue of that have lost insurance, what kind of resources are out there for people who simply can't pay and need that kind of help?
And that's exactly what a community mental health center is in each of our communities to do so. So if you're on the Missouri side, there are catchment areas around the Kansas City, Missouri area, but there are community mental health centers. In Johnson County, Johnson County Mental Health Center is the community mental health center for our community. And so we can provide those services. And in fact, you know, there have been specialized funds set forth through the CARES Act that pay for funds for people to get some brief mental health counseling and things like that in order to be able to manage the pandemic. And so I would say to anyone, if they need help, they should call our 24-hour-a-day crisis line. It's 913-268-0156. And if you're from Missouri and you're not sure where to call that number, and we'll get you connected where you need to get connected to.
I feel like there are more apps than ever for your phone to help you with your mental health. How much do you advocate and support people using some of those apps that would connect you to a mental health? Some of them are paid, but a lot of them are free. Any of those that you think are particularly good?
Yeah, no, I think that I think there's quite a few out there that are very effective, and you have to find the tool that works best for you. But there's a lot of things that work on mindfulness and being able to help you remain calm and how to regulate your emotions, those kinds of things. I think though that those apps are really good as a supplement to professional help. And so I think that if you know you use those and they suffice, perfect. But I think they're not necessarily going to help overcome, so for example, suicidal ideation. If someone's having thoughts of harming themselves, we really need to get in contact with professional help.
Tim, I want to have you give that phone number out just one more time real quick before we hit the news so that people have a chance to get that and just let them know how they can find you if they didn't have a chance to write the phone number down.
Absolutely. It's 913-268-0156. And you don't have to be in crisis to call. Just call if you're in need of help.
Oh, I know we're up against news, but I'm going to ask a bigger question than we probably have time for, because I think what you just said is really important. How do you know if you should be seeking help? And that it's, I think people wonder about the difference between just moodiness and when you actually would benefit from someone helping.
I think that's where we have to make sure that we're routinely checking in with our friends, families, and coworkers, and that's where we have to be honest with one another, having authentic communication with one another. If we see someone struggling, we need to reach out and tell them that we see them struggling, and then we can help them access help. So a lot of times people don't see it themselves. And so that's why we have to look out for one another. That's why this is really a community issue. We can come together as a community and we can survive this pandemic.
Well said. Tim DeWeese, Director of Johnson County Mental Health. We always appreciate when you come on and take questions from us. Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks a bunch.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.